verse 3 and 4, and Jeremiah prophetically is all of Christ. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. That's enough. Man of sorrows. That's the creator of this world, the Lord of glory, the Savior of sinners. He has many names and titles, I believe 700, but one of them is Man of Sorrows. Now our hymn sheet says on hymn 13, Man of Sorrows, what a name for the Son of God who came, ruined sinners to reclaim, but hallelujah, what a Savior. Would someone raise that to him? Stay for a minute at the Lamentations of Jeremiah. I'll look again at chapter 1 because that hymn brought this to mind. And in verse 12, Behold, see if there be any sorrow like unto my sorrow, which is done unto me, wherein the Lord hath afflicted me in the day of his fierce anger. From above hath he sent fire into my bones. Now, the third chapter and verse 1 of Lamentations. I am the man that hath seen affliction by the rod of his wrath. You know, in Isaiah 52, 14, I believe it is, it says, His visage was so marred more than any man, and his form than the sons of men. No one will ever know what it costs the Lord Jesus to offer salvation here tonight to any sinner. That awful 3 hours of darkness, verse 2 of chapter 3, He hath led me and brought me into darkness. On that cross as He hung there, when God, a holy God, had to punish Him for sin, darkness came upon the whole world. 3 hours. In those 3 hours of darkness, the Lord Jesus consumed the judgment of a holy God for sin and for any sins of any sinner who will receive Him. 3 hours of darkness. But you know, if any sinner dies in his sins, he will have darkness and he will suffer the judgment of God. Jesus consumed that punishment and judgment in those 3 hours. But it'll be the blackness of darkness forever when you will suffer under the judgment and punishment of God with no end. What a difference. Now we go back to chapter 1 of the Lamentations of Jeremiah, verse 21. They have heard that I sigh, none to comfort me. You know, in Psalm 69:20, the Lord said, I looked for some to take pity, but there was none. I looked for comforters, I found none. In Mark's Gospel 14, I think, it says, all forsook him and fled. This is the Creator. This is the one that came in love to save sinners. This is the one who was rejected by his own people, children of Israel. This is the one who was turned away and not recognized. How precious it is when we read this. All mine enemies have heard of my trouble and they are glad. Now this little verse here at the middle. Thou wilt bring the day that thou hast appointed. It says in my Bible, called the margin, proclaim, but the word is appointed. Thou wilt bring the day that thou hast appointed, and they shall be like unto me. He's appointed a day in which he will judge this world by that man, Jesus. You know, you could turn to Acts just for a minute on that. I shouldn't just say it. Acts 17. And verse 31. Because he has appointed a day in that which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he raised him from the dead. You shall be like unto me if you die in your sins. Only not 3 hours. The only difference is not 3 hours. Eternity. Think of it. Eternity. If anyone's here in your sins, I hope you realize what we're talking about. If you die in that condition, you die again. Second death. That's eternal separation from a holy God whose light is the blackness of darkness forever. If the Lord should come and we expect him, forever too late. That's the peril, the danger you're in your sins. You like unto me except for one thing. Mark chapter 9, the last perhaps 6 verses, I won't turn to it. But he says, those that die in their sins are cast into hell fire, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. And the second time, cast into hell fire, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. A third time in that portion right there. Cast into hellfire, where the worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. Like unto me. He went through that for me. But if any do not have his Savior, you're going to be in that for eternity. How solemn it is. In that for eternity. Now turn to Luke's Gospel. Luke's Gospel. Chapter 10. Verse 1. Luke 10, verse 1. After these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also, and sent them 2 and 2 before his face, unto every city and every place whither he himself would come. That's a beautiful verse of the gospel. Right now, beginning. God is faithful. The Lord Jesus is faithful. The Holy Spirit is here faithfully working. Every time the Word of God is opened, the Holy Spirit is active to take that Word and convict any sinner of his need and bring him to Christ. Satan is not faithful, but he's active too to keep you. To keep you. Because if you don't belong to Christ, you belong to him. You're a slave of Satan on your way to hell. And so it says, he sent 70 before him to let everybody know he's coming. You know, his testimony of the gospel has reached the whole world. Isn't that wonderful? He's faithful. Titus 2:11. The grace of God which bringeth salvation to every man hath appeared. I don't have to do a lot of foundation work about Jesus any place I go in the world. That name is the most known name of any name in the world and the most hated. Jesus. They know about him. So you can usually get to the subject rather quickly. There's two testimonies when I think how faithful he is brought out here in this first verse. The one testimony, we'll turn to Psalm for it. I would rather take it from the word than just say. One testimony is found in the Psalms, and that's Psalm 19. Verse 1, the heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament showeth his handiwork. Now, I'd like to just say, the created heavens is what we're talking about. When you look up in those heavens at night, you begin to realize the grandeur and majesty of God in creation. This is one of the testimonies. The Lord said the heaven and the heavens belong to the Lord, but the earth has he given to the children of men. No use looking for some kind of life out there. I've already got the answer. They wouldn't have had to send and spend a couple of million or billion dollars to get to the moon to find out what it was. It's in the Word of God. It's in the Word of God. They found out what it was, but they don't publish it in big print because it isn't what they expected. They found out when they brought some back and examined it, it's particles like unto glass. That's the best way they could describe it. God says it's a grand reflector of the sun. Can you get a better reflector than a ball of all particles of glass and the sun shining on it? No, nothing could be brighter than that. Well, they found it out, but it costs a lot of money. It's here in the Word of God. But the heavens declare his glory. You know, the stars are all numbered. That's how I know there's an end to the created heavens. Man will never find it. The heavens are to confound man. They make the greatest and the biggest telescopes and get them even more powerful and put them on some kind of a ship and send it closer. And all they see is more and more billions and trillions. There's an end to the heavens. He not only has them all numbered, God calls them all by name. Isn't it wonderful? This is a testimony. Now, day unto day uttereth speech, night unto night showeth knowledge. There's no speech or language where their voice is not heard. Their line is gone out through all the earth, their words to the end of the world. This is the creatorial testimony of God to every sinner, every creature in the whole world. Speech, knowledge, language, voice, words, all of creation. It speaks to me. I think it must speak to you too. Well, we won't take too much time on that. That's the first testimony. The second testimony is his word. Isn't that a marvelous thing? His word. You know, he has the written word preserved all these years for you. And if you're a sinner, still in your sins, you've got no excuse. You've got the Creator testimony. You've got his precious word right in your hands. And he's preserved it for that reason. All the attacks upon this precious word. Heaven and earth will pass away. My word will never pass away. Amen. We've got it right here to enjoy. You know, Paul said about the Romans, in Romans 3, about the Jews. Gentiles are being saved. Paul was the apostle to the Gentiles. But the Jews were resisting. He said, what advantage has the Jew then? Really answered the question quick, didn't he? Every advantage. Unto them was committed the oracles of God. They had it already. All their Old Testament scriptures spoke of Christ, pointed to Christ, told us about Christ. What do you have? You've got the whole Word of God. Not just that portion, you got it all. Oh, it's wonderful, isn't it? How faithful he is. How faithful the Lord is. Now, I just mentioned one thing. Why is this written? Well, he even tells us that. John 21, the last verse. These things are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. Isn't that lovely? I mean, isn't that wonderful? Isn't God faithful? Luke 10:1, 70. He sent out 70 ahead of him to tell of his coming everywhere. That's the faithfulness of God. What was the result? Turn to Mark chapter 6. Mark's Gospel chapter 6. Verse 55. Well, I'll just say in 53. When they had passed over, they came unto the land of Gennesaret and drew to the shore. And when they were come out of the ship, they knew him. You know him too. You may not know him as Savior, but you know him. talking about the Son of God, Jesus Christ. They knew him because Jesus got that word out. And I'm sure he's got the word out to everyone that sits here tonight. I don't know how many times you heard the gospel, but I know you've heard it. I don't know how many times you heard about Jesus. I know you've heard it. And ran, they were in earnest, through the whole region round about, and began to carry about in beds those that were sick, where they heard he was. They that could come came, and they that couldn't come were brought. And whithersoever he entered into villages or cities or country, they laid the sick in the streets and besought him that they might touch, if it were, but the border of his garment, and as many as touched it were made whole. Jesus going through the cities, the towns, the villages, the countryside, and the streets were littered with the sick and the maimed and the diseased. There they were. Oh, he's faithful, isn't he? There may be lost ones in here tonight. He knows about it. That's why you're here. And how wonderful it is as he walked through those streets. It was just full of those people in need ahead of him, and the streets were empty behind him. Isn't that wonderful? The power of Jesus, the power of the Creator of this world was walking there. Well, let's go back to our portion here. Luke 10, verse 1. I want to look at Luke 10, verse 17. And the 70 that he sent out returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said, verse 20, in this rejoice not, that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice, because your names are written in heaven. Rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Is your name there? That's the question, isn't it? Is your name there? If your name is in the Lamb's Book of Life, it's permanent and it's there in heaven. That's the reason to rejoice. That's the reason to rejoice. You're judgment free. You never have to be feared of having your sins punished or judged, or you too. Isn't it wonderful? Names written in heaven. You know, in China, Peking, I heard, and I believe it's true, in fact, I think I looked it up, there's a university there that's got the reputation of being the oldest continuous existing university in the world, and all the pride wrapped up in that place. It's surrounded, the main building surrounded by stone pillars, very high. And every graduate from that university has his name etched permanently in one of those stone pillars. That's the permanent record. Oh no, that isn't the permanent record. Heaven and earth will pass away and those stones with it. But if your name's in the Lamb's Book of Life, that's the only permanent record there is. It's there forever. Isn't that precious? It's there forever. Jesus said, rejoice. Not because through me and the power of the Spirit, you can even cast out demons. No, rejoice. Because your name's in the Lamb's Book of Life. In Revelation 20, I won't go into that, from 11 to 15, you got the great white throne judgment. All are judged to die in their sins out of the books of the things which they did. But it says, whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. This is the gospel. Just as much as God is love, God is light. He's holy. This is the gospel. You know, if someone doesn't realize their need, they'll never take the remedy for it. But we're going to present the remedy. It's a wonderful privilege. And you know, second death, like unto me, said Jesus, only for eternity. The only difference, for eternity. Death is a deciding factor. Death is a deciding factor. If you die in your sins, you're going to die again. Isn't that astounding? You're going to die again. Second death. Second death is eternal separation from a holy God who's love and light. That's why hell is a blackness, a darkness forever. That's why there's no love there. It's torments, eternal torments and anguish. In 1 Corinthians 15, it's about 55, 56, 57. Death is swallowed up in victory. That's what we're offering you. Death is swallowed up in victory. Death, where is thy sting, it says. Gone. If you have Jesus as Savior, you can say that. Grave, where is thy victory? It's gone. Thanks be to God that giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. That could be yours. Isn't it wonderful? I have no fear of death. I don't even expect to die. It's a wonderful thing. If the Lord comes, I'm not going to die. If the Lord comes tonight, all those that are safe in Christ are going to leave this place quick. But if I do die, it just ushers me into the presence of the Lord of glory. Far better. Let's turn to verse 25 of Luke that we've been reading, chapter 10. Behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted Jesus. It really means tested or tried. This man stood up. Pride. Had a good impression of himself. That's the way most people of religion are. They're proud of what they're doing, have a good impression of themselves. And he said, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? I think everybody would love to know they have eternal life. I really do. I think everybody would like to know that if they die, everything is beautiful. So he says, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And I can tell you this right now, deadly doing ends in death. Deadly doing ends in death. You can't do one thing. You can't pay one thing. You can't say one thing to get you one step closer to heaven. You can't do it. Sinful flesh can do nothing. Nothing. That'll get them to heaven or even near it. And the Lord Jesus, who takes every man right on the ground he comes, he doesn't change the subject. He always does that. You'll see it in the Gospels. He said, what is written in the law? How readest thou the law? You know, if you're going to do, you're going to try to keep the law, because that's the best rule. That's God's rule for conduct for his creatures. This man was so proud in what he was doing. You know, there was a king of England who, when he was Prince of Wales, had a habit once a month. It wasn't a habit, it was a custom, just of love, to be with some of his college chums and friends for dinner. And they did that every month and had a happy time. When he was king, he tried to do it as often as he could. And this one evening, when he was going to be with them for dinner, he was late. They were all waiting there. When the door opened and he walked in, all of them instantly stood up. And he said, take your seats, gentlemen. You don't have to rise to your feet for me. Then he chuckled and said, I'm not the Lord, you know. And one of them said, if you were the Lord, sir, we wouldn't rise to our feet. We'd go to our knees. We go to our knees. That's the difference of this man and one who's ready to be saved. If you realize who Jesus is, you'd be on your knees like Peter was before him. He got saved. Or like that woman who had the affliction 12 years. She was on her face at his feet. That's where you'll be. Well, this man came boldly with pride. And answering in verse 27, he said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, with all thy mind, thy neighbor as thyself. Can you do that? I'm going to tell you something. You can't do that. No sinner can do that. That's only the first commandment. The first commandment. Love. You know, no other God before me. And before Moses came down from Mount Sinai with that Ten Commandments, they already were breaking the first one and they haven't received it yet. Cow. Idol. Already. That's the heart of man. That's the heart of man. Jesus answered him in verse 28, "Thou hast answered right, this do and thou shalt live, but none can live because none can do." Do it, you'll live. Isn't that wonderful? But he, willing to justify himself, verse 29, said to Jesus, "Who is my neighbor?" Now this is the problem. Who is my neighbor? One man said, "I don't have any trouble loving the whole world. It's my neighbor next door that gives a problem." You know, that's it. We don't love anybody like ourselves. Isn't that it? We don't love anybody like ourselves. That's the sinner's problem. Turn to Psalm 14. Turn to Psalm 14. The Lord can make a cursory look of the whole world from beginning to end of time. He's able. It says in Psalm 33, upon all the inhabitants of the earth, he can look at one time. Psalm 14, verse 2. The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. They are all gone aside. They're altogether become filthy. There's none that doeth good. No, not one. Why is this man that ever lived, Solomon, in Ecclesiastes 7, said there's no just man upon earth. There's not a just man upon earth who sinneth not. That's what the Lord says when he made that examination. Turn to Romans 3, Romans 3, chapter 10, Romans 3, verse 10. Let's see. "As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They're altogether become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one." The biography of man. Portrait of you if you're still in your sins. That's it. You know, no one is seeking God. It's God who's seeking you. Sinner really isn't seeking God. He's trying to appease him and stay out of his presence as much as he can. That's religion. There is none that seeketh God. None that seeketh after God. You know, there was a man who wanted a rare book. It was a religious book called Seekers After God by Harar. And he asked a rare book dealer in New York City to locate one for him. That dealer called him back after a while and said, "I'm sorry to say there's no seekers after God in New York City. Neither is there any in Boston, and nor Philadelphia. I suggest you try Chicago. What about Bridgeport? Is there any seeker after God in Bridgeport? If there is, you're going to be saved tonight. Because a seeking sinner can't help but find a seeking Savior. And the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which is lost. He's seeking you." It's a wonderful thing, isn't it? It says, "None seeketh after God." Let's go down now to verse 30. He said, "Who's my neighbor?" He's changing the subject. He's getting the light off of himself. Sinners always do that. Jesus answering said, now I want you to think about this. In his answer, we have the perfect gospel. The Lord can bring out the gospel in anything. He takes any subject and makes it the gospel, because that's why he's here. The good news of how a sinner can go to heaven. Jesus answering said, "A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, fell among thieves, stripped him of his raiment, wounded him, departed, leaving him half dead." Jerusalem is God's place where the temple was. Jericho is a picture and type of this world. Jericho appeals to the senses. Jericho means fragrant, beautiful fragrance, I think, or sweet fragrance. It appeals to the smell. Jericho was the city of palms, a resort place. It appeals to the sight. This is world to the flesh. But this man went down from God to the world, and that's the path of every sinner. You're going down. away from God and into this world and on your way to destruction. Certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and then he fell among thieves. You know, Satan has his emissaries ready to work. He's a hard master. Jonah found it out. He went down from the presence of God too. Paid the fare all the way down. You know, Satan will take you on a good long run, but he charges a fare all the way down. May cost you your health, may cost you your family, may cost you a lot of things, but he'll take a fare. This man suffered that way. He was stripped, took everything he had, left him half dead. I want to tell you something. If you're still in your sins, God says you're dead. You don't have to do one thing to go to hell. Not a thing. Isn't that something? You're on your way. This man was half dead. You know, I'm glad it says that in this gospel. Because if you're still breathing, you got that description too. You're dead in the sight of God, but there's still hope. That's this man. He was left half dead and in the gutter. Where am I? 31. By chance, there came down a certain priest. It's speaking of religion. You know, religion never saved a soul. It never will. Give it up. Only faith in Christ saves. That's all. Religion. Cain started it. Cain started. He's in hell. Satan picked it up, and it's gone like wildfire. Religion. Man's way of thinking he can get into heaven and acceptable to God never works. A certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Why? Couldn't do anything. Religion can't do anything. And I'll tell you why. Turn to Jeremiah chapter 46. Jeremiah chapter 46. And I'll tell you why religion can't do anything. Why man's thoughts and words can't do anything. Why a preacher can't do anything unless it's the Word of God brought to you by the Spirit. 46. Jeremiah. Just one verse, the middle of verse 11. In vain shalt thou use many medicines. Thou shalt not be cured. Chapter 30 of Jeremiah, chapter 30, and I think verse 12. Chapter 30. Verse 12. For thus says the Lord, thy bruise is incurable. Thy wound is grievous. There is none to plead thy cause, that thou mayest be bound up. Thou hast no healing medicines. This is it. I want to tell you just how bad you are if you're still in your sins. You may not know it, but God wants you to realize it. Let's look at the first chapter of Jeremiah. Maybe it's Isaiah, just a bit. First chapter of Isaiah. Verse 6. Well, at the end of verse 5. The whole head is sick. The whole heart faint. From the sole of the foot, even unto the head, no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. That's a description of you. That's why religion can't help you. There's no medicine here in this world. There's no cure. Back to our portion, Luke 10. Back to our portion. Verse 32, and likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. What could he do? Nothing. Can't keep the law. Sinner can't keep the law. He couldn't keep the Levitical law, that's for sure. That Levite could look at that man half dead in the gutter and say, hey, half dead man, you got a bullock? He can't. He don't have any bullock. Got a ram? No ram. Little lamb? Two turtle doves? Two sparrows? He passed by on the other side. Can't do it. Can't do it. But, verse 33, a certain Samaritan, means a stranger. You know, Jesus was a stranger in this place of his creation when he came among his creatures. He came unto his own received him not. He came unto the world knew him not. He went to Jerusalem, they cast him out. He is a stranger down here. A certain Samaritan, that's Jesus, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion on him. Isn't that lovely? He's a man of compassion, not just a man of sorrows. Jesus is a man of compassion. That's what's missing in this world. What is compassion? It's to be moved to pity at the distress of another. That's Jesus. Jesus. Turn to Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1. Verse 40. Mark 1, 40. There came a leper. Now, leprosy is a type of sin. It's unto death. Only a type, because the antitype is worse, and sin is unto second death. There came a leper unto Jesus, beseeching him and kneeling down to him. If you know who he is, you'll be on your knees before him too. And saying unto him, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Jesus moved with compassion. Compassion. Put forth his hand and touched him and said, I will, be thou clean. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately leprosy departed from him. He was cleansed. That's just how fast you can be saved, sinner. The great physician was there. The balm was there. The balm is the word of God. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. The great physician is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And I'll tell you something. He has no waiting room. There's no waiting at all. Not even to see him or to get cured. Immediately, his leprosy is gone. Immediately, your sins are gone. You receive Jesus as Savior. Isn't that a wonderful thought? Back to our portion. I just wanted to demonstrate compassion. He's the only one. And likewise, 34. And went to him and bound up his wounds. I'm telling you, sinner, if you're still in your sins, he's coming to you right now. Just like this. He doesn't make you come to him. He comes to you. And every time the gospel is preached, the Lord Jesus is ready to receive any sinner. The Spirit of God is active to bring you to Christ this way. It said, he went to him and bound up his wounds. Oh, I think that's beautiful. And pouring in oil and wine. The oil is the Spirit of God. The wine is a joy that always comes when one's saved. Set him on his own beast. Brought him to an inn. Took care of him. Full provision. Full provision. The sinner couldn't and didn't have to do anything. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host and said unto him, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again. When I come again. Now you got the full gospel. The Lord Jesus came once, gave himself for sinners. No wonderful? And now he's working to bring sinners to him so he can take you to glory. Save you from hell and take you to glory. And he's coming himself again to take his bride, the church, every blood-bought saint. And it may be tonight. How wonderful this is. It said, when I come again. You know, before he went to the cross, in John 14, the Lord Jesus told him, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, you may be also. He told him ahead of time. 1 Thessalonians 4, we have this precious portion. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And then we, which are alive and remain at the coming of the Lord, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Amen. I'm looking forward to that. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Test. Are these words that the Lord may come tonight a comfort to you or a terror? If they're a terror to you, get saved. You're in trouble. If they're a comfort, fine. Because it's a comfort to me. That if the Lord comes, I'm ready. In fact, in Matthew 25, we have the story of some that were professing to be Christians and some that were real. They were indwelt by the Spirit of God. They had oil. When the bridegroom came, they that were ready went in with him. When the bridegroom came, they that were ready went in with him. Now, the door was shut. Isn't that sort of final? It is final. The door was shut. And that isn't even the end. One more word. Afterward. There's an afterward, sinner. And if the Lord came tonight and you're still in your sins and not saved, it's eternity where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. How solemn, huh? Afterward. Turn to Mark. Turn to Matthew 7. We got a little, y'all want to get this. This is the afterward. Matthew chapter 7. Verse 21. Lord Jesus speaking, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name cast out many demons, and in thy name done many for works, taught Sunday school for 10 years in thy name. And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me. I never knew you. Depart from me. Too late. Too late. You know, I believe Satan is taking more souls into hell through religion than any other way. A false sense of security, belonging to something, doing something. That's his main weapon today. Let's go back to our portion. Death. You know, the Lord said, you'll be like unto me. Afterward. That's quite solemn, isn't it? I want to turn now to look at these little points of death to show you it can be overcome. Mark's Gospel, chapter 7. Mark's Gospel. Mark chapter 9, not 7. We had this man half dead. Thank God, everyone here, if you're breathing, you're in that category. There's still hope. You're dead in the sight of God, but Jesus Christ can save you and give you life. Isn't that wonderful? All right. Verse 17, I'm going to tell you. Here's a man who brought his son to Jesus. He was a lunatic. And 19. He answered Jesus and said, or Jesus answered that man and said, the men around, faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? Bring him to me. Bring him to me. And they brought him unto Jesus. All right, now verse 22, I'm trying to get to it quick. And oft time it hath cast him into the fire, said the Father, and into waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. That isn't faith, if thou canst do anything. But asking for compassion was the right thing, because this is a man of compassion. So he gave him the faith. It's a gift to God. If you want it, you can have it. If you think it's too easy to get to heaven the way I'm saying, just believe in Jesus Christ as your Savior. Ask him to wash your sins away. Then ask God for the faith to believe. He'll give it to you. For by grace are you saved through faith. That's not of yourself. It's a gift to God. So he gave it to this man. And Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, that's all things are possible to him that believeth. And the man said, the father said, Lord, I believe. I believe. Help my unbelief. Isn't that beautiful? The disciples came to Jesus and said, who can be saved? If this man who's lived the law all his life can't be saved, who can be saved? You know, the answer of the Lord is something for everyone here. With man, it's impossible. But with God, all things are possible. Everyone here tonight can be saved. You can empty this room with everybody saved, judgment free, going out, joy in their heart. With God, all things are possible. Verse 26. The spirit cried and rent that boy and came out of him, and he was as one dead. Many said, he's dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up. He arose. He lived. You know, we had one there that was half dead. Now we got one that's as dead. But Jesus was able to do this as a result of the man's faith. You know, it says, I think it's in Matthew 17. I won't turn to it, about verse 20. If you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, up and remove yourself, and it'll move. What's Jesus talking about? The impossible. This was the impossible for that father. It was the impossible for his disciples. All things are possible with God. If you receive Christ as Savior, you've got a faith that you can move any obstacle in your life by it. There isn't anything too great for Jesus to take care of, nor anything too small for him too, also. Well, let's go on. I won't turn to it, time's going. Luke 7, we have a centurion. And this centurion in Luke 7 had a servant who was very dear to him. But he was ready to die, about to die, on the brink of death. He heard of Jesus. So have you. He heard of Jesus. Isn't that lovely? That's the answer to everything. Answer for every sinner. And he called for Jesus. And Jesus responded. But he said to him, I'm not worthy that thou should come to my house. Say the word. Isn't that lovely? Say the word. My servant shall live. That's mountain-moving faith. Isn't that wonderful? Jesus said the word, his servant lived. Isn't that? Oh, it's wonderful to think about that. So be it. Now, that was one that was up on the brink of death, about to die. Well, you know, there was one in Luke 8 who was ready to die. Jairus, the ruler of the synagogue, had a daughter, one only daughter, and she was ready to die. When Jesus got there, she was dead on the bed. Now we got one dead. All of them were weeping and wailing. Jesus put them all out. He took her hand and he said, Maid, arise. She had life. Sinner, you're dead. It's just that easy. Faith. Faith. Maid, arise. She arose. And you know, the man of compassion said, give her something to eat. That's the man of compassion. Half dead, ready to die, just died. I'm going to tell you some more. Let's look at one in Luke 7 who was a widow's only son, and he was dead and in the coffin and on the way to be buried. Now we've taken a real step ahead. Jesus stopped the whole procession. He stopped the whole funeral. And he touched the coffin. And he said, young man, arise. And he that was dead sat up and started to talk. And he gave him back to his widowed mother. You know, it's beautiful to see these things, isn't it? He that was dead sat up and began to speak. You know, the people exclaimed, God has visited his people. They were right. Jesus is God. He's the eternal Son of God. His name shall be called Emmanuel. Matthew 1:23. God with us. Isn't that beautiful? You know, God wants to be with you personally. Jesus. He wants to indwell you with a spirit. He wants to give you his life. Now we had a sinner half dead. We had a son as dead. We had a servant ready to die. We had a daughter just dead. We had an only son dead and in the coffin on the way to the funeral. Mothers and fathers, I'm going to ask you something. What about your daughter? What about your son? if they're still in their sins, look to the Lord Jesus for them. He's ready. He wants to answer prayer. He'll work in their soul. This is so solemn and so serious it is. But I want to take you, only got a few minutes, I want to take you to John 11. We'll take you to John 11. We'll go one step further only. John chapter 11 and verse 14. Then said Jesus, Lazarus is dead. Verse 17. When Jesus came, he found that he laid in the grave 4 days already. All things are possible with God. Half dead is one dead, ready to die, just died. Dead on the bed, dead in a coffin on the way for burial. Dead 4 days in the grave. What difference? 4 days. 40 days, or 400 days, or 4 months, or 4,000 months, or 400 years. What's the difference? The source of life is right there. The source of life, the one that gave you your first life and wants to give you eternal life, he's there. And Jesus, notice this, verse 25. Jesus said to her, Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Are any of you dead in your sins? Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Thou shalt be saved. You live. Judgment free on your way to glory. You'll have the same joy and happiness I got. I just can't seem to get rid of it. It's so precious. How wonderful it is to walk through this world judgment free. No worry. No fear. This is what we're talking about. Verse 43. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. He that was dead came forth, bound in hand and foot, with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. And Jesus saith to the disciples, loose him, let him go. God would have all to be saved. He came forth from the dead. And come into the knowledge of the truth. Loose him, let him go. That's liberty. That's freedom. He can grow in the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that beautiful? Loose him. Let him go. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Verse 55. Death, where is thy sting? It's gone. Grave, where is thy victory? It's gone. 57. Thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's why he hung on the cross. That's why he suffered in those 3 hours of darkness. Consumed the judgment of thrice holy God. So you can be saved. I'm going to do one last, just a verse that I think came to mind right now. Ephesians. Ephesians in chapter 2. Ephesians. Right after Corinthians, right after Galatians. Ephesians chapter 2. Verse 15. We were dead in sins. He hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not by works, not by works, lest any man should boast. John 5:24, Jesus speaking, verily, verily, when he says that, it's very important to listen. Amen, amen, truly, truly, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word, you've heard enough tonight to go to heaven. One verse is enough to take you to heaven. This verse I'm quoting can get you in heaven. John 3:16 can take you to heaven. It doesn't take a lot. It takes Christ. He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, shall not come into judgment, but is passed already from death unto life. That's the gospel. That's a glorious gospel. You can't add anything to that. Let's sing. Number 6. God in mercy sent his Son to a world by sin undone. Jesus Christ was crucified. 'Twas for sinners Jesus died. He sent his Son
to a world
undone. Jesus Christ was crucified. Was our sinners Jesus died. Oh, that glory of the grace shining in the Savior's face, telling sinners from above, God is love and God is love. Sin and death no more shall reign. Jesus died and lives again. In the glory's highest height, see him God's supreme delight. All the glory of the grace shining in the Savior's face, telling sinners from above, God is light and God is love. All who in his name believe, Lord of all is Jesus now, every knee to him must bow. All the glory of the grace shining in the Savior's face, telling sinners from above, God is light and God is love. Christ the Lord will come again. He who suffered once will reign. Every son at last will own. Jesus Christ is Lord alone. All the glory of the grace shining in the Savior's face, telling sinners from